You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. No dysfunction in this room like my New York Giants.
Like Matt's a cancer. Nah.
Let me not follow up that question. Let me just move on. So, over the next hour, players that let you down in the fantasy playoffs, and not just guys on the Eagles and Raiders. There were more, several of which Corey mentioned earlier on in the show that I want to get into because there's a whole lot of them we need to talk about. But before we do, let me get to some of the top stories here going on. And a lot of them aren't exactly Week 17 related. We'll do that over the next 2 days, I promise you. A lot of them are kind of more football-y, Corey. And we talk about dysfunction. And the two teams at the top of the NFL draft, as they normally are, if you're the first or second pick, things clearly went very wrong for you. Josh Rosen, UCLA quarterback, who very well may be the first overall pick in the draft, said, yeah, you know, honestly, like,
yeah, I'm staying in school and play for the Browns.
Well, he didn't just say that. He did. But he also said, I don't need to be a top pick. You know, I'm good going, you know, later on if it gets me to a better team.
Yeah, no. And listen, you don't want to go to a place where these young quarterbacks go to die. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're not getting a good opportunity there. You're not getting a good chance to learn. And what it does is you look at Kaiser, the kind of year Kaiser has. Now nobody wants to touch him. You feel what I'm saying?
Correct.
Because of the bad year he had. Whereas if he could have been in a better situation, then maybe a couple years down the line, some people would be like, oh, you know, Kaiser, you know, he hasn't really played. Or, you know, it stinks so bad right now that nobody else wants to fool with him.
Well, you also, Matt, you have that kind of, not fear of the unknown, but like there's that unknown. It's just like, all right, maybe this guy's great. And we don't have that with Kaiser because we've seen him and he's very, very raw. And it's just like, Corey's right. Nobody wants to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, there will be somebody that takes a shot on Kaiser if he was, if he ends up somewhere else, just because he has that athleticism and he was just thrown into the fire way too early, which, you know, was the wrong decision by the coach. And maybe the coach was trying to save his own skin with that move. But Rosen has the right mindset. You really don't want to go to a situation where you get, look, for some people it's just about the money and getting as much as possible, so going as high as you can. I think he's, you know, he's going to come out and he's going to go wherever you want. You know, he'll go to the Browns. If you, look, the Browns at some point are going to turn this around, and hopefully with this new GM.
Are you sure?
I mean, at some point it's got to get, it can't get worse than it's been.
Well, I think it's just funny that Josh Rosen is saying this stuff. Josh Rosen's not even guaranteed the first quarterback off the board.
Well, he just do what Eli Manning did. Force himself to go to where he wants to go.
He can.
Is he going to be one of the top guys?
But there's a lot of other quarterbacks that. I mean, Eli Manning was the lock, rock solid, guaranteed number one overall pick. I don't think Josh Rosen is that. There's a lot of other quarterbacks.
No, I mean, I'm a UCLA fan, and I would take the USC quarterback.
Sam Darnold, yeah. Yep. A lot more headlines to get to, including dysfunction in Arizona, conflicting reports, and some other headlines as we head toward Week 17. Roto Experts continues on right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. A couple of housekeeping notes before we go forward. Corey Parson will be filling in on the Fantasy Freestyle later this week, tomorrow and Friday.
I believe Lineup Lock Live. I mean, well, Lineup Lock also with Tony Sincotta. So I'll be holding it down for Spitting Speeds. So I'll be back in the afternoons doing Lineup Lock with Tony.
So the evening.
In the evening, excuse me. In Lineup Lock with Tony. And then tomorrow and Friday and all of next week, I'll be holding down the Fantasy Freestyle. We're going to turn it into the Trap House.
So there you go. Probably avoid that.
don't avoid the Trap House.
Yeah. Also, coming up this Sunday, by the way, is our Week 17 DKMS Final Contest.
Yeah, that's right.
That's in Week 17 over at Fantasy Draft. Remember, you go to RotoExperts.com/DKMS. You learn everything about the DKMS people and how to, this holiday season, to help those without blood cancer by donating your bone marrow and becoming... become a better person, do you? You save a life. And it's an awesome, awesome charity. It's an awesome experience. So please, if you have the opportunity, go check it out. RotoExperts.com/DKMS. For those that have gone there throughout the season, we run a DFS contest each and every week. And if you have the opportunity to participate in that and wind up winning, you qualified for Week 17. So that means you have to face 15 other people with a winner going to the Super Bowl in Minnesota in February.
That's a fun sweat.
It is. It's a very fun sweat. You got nothing to lose. And throughout the week here on our programming on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're going to talk to some of the participants. I know, Corey, I believe on Friday you're going to have one of the qualifiers on your show.
Yeah, Friday we'll have a qualifier join us on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. So we'll talk about the week that he won, how he put it together, and then we'll see maybe of some kind of tips he can give us for Week 17 as he tries to chase down a trip to the big game in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Why they have the Super Bowl in Minneapolis? It's freezing in Minneapolis.
Well, it's a dome.
New stadium.
But still, the nightlife, you know what I'm saying? Scott
loves the nightlife, though.
He does. Scott
don't really know too much about nightlife. Scott's a day shift guy.
we just heard of that as well.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You won't go out Super Bowl party city, you know what I'm saying? You won't go to San Diego, Miami, something like that.
San Diego doesn't have any football teams.
Yeah, that's true, too. But you want to go someplace. Well, they've had Super Bowls there in the past.
Of course.
Miami, Los Angeles, Phoenix. You want to go someplace where the nighttime come, you know what I'm saying? You can go out, have a good time, hang out with the co-eds. You just, in Minnesota, everybody's going to be bundled up. It's not fun.
Sorry.
When everybody's bundled up.
Yeah.
Somebody could have a pistol on them.
Moving on. We're talking about dysfunction. And a couple of other dysfunctional notes throughout the teams in the league. You go to Arizona. It was a weird day, Matt, with the Arizona Cardinals. So it kind of broke during the frenzy that Bruce Arians, Jake said on your show, Bruce Arians and Arizona mutually agreed to part ways, according to Pro Football Weekly. A couple hours later, Bruce Arians has a press conference. Fake news. I have not made a decision if I plan to be back next year.
Why is he making the decision?
They made a decision.
They should have made that decision for him. They basically said, thank you for your service. We're moving on.
Has he been given a raw deal?
Beat up quarterback the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. Not having David Johnson this year. Mm-hmm. Some of the pieces on defense not playing up to par.
So I think the answer to that question is how much influence he has in the quarterback, right? Like, from everything you've read, he put his foot down to go get Drew Stanton. He wanted Blaine Gabbert, right? And I have no idea if it's him or Steve Keim making that pick. Like, you had heard that they wanted to trade up for Pat Mahomes at one point.
Steve Keim?
Isn't he the general? He's the general manager, is he not?
Wait a minute. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So you had heard rumors that he wanted to trade up for Pat Mahomes in the draft. It didn't happen. They wind up drafting no quarterback. Yeah. And they've kind of gone with the older guys and the veterans. And I don't know if that's a raw deal or that's just his decision to go out and you know, kind of go with the craft that they have.
Well, the best decision they made was not. I heard those rumors about giving Blaine Gabbert a contract.
Yeah,
or
that's
something.
Not a great idea.
That was, I don't know what they were thinking there, but luckily that didn't happen.
They should have a quarterback in the stash, so they don't have that situation. Listen, when you're behind at the quarterback position, you're already going to be deficient, and I think that's a situation that they're looking into, not to mention the fact the team hasn't really made no strides. Arian was supposed to be a guy that was supposed to be this master offensive mind. I don't think we've really seen that. You look at the pieces on the outside, we haven't seen no development out of the Brown kid, out of the other fast wide receiver, outside of Larry Fitzgerald, the legend. You know what I'm saying? They really have no tight end to speak of. There's a lot of different things. It's like the Cardinals are like a team that's just like put together. Like, it's no real plan, no real scheme. It's just like, go out there and play. Like, they're drawing plays in the sand. That's what I, when I think about the Arizona Cardinals, that's what I think about. Kind of hang with their defense, David Johnson, and then the rest is just kind of helter skelter. So I don't really know what that situation entails. I think it probably is time for a new voice to come in there. But like I saw them on the Frenzy yesterday, what if that new voice is like, you know what, we're not going to let David Johnson touch the ball 30, 35 times a game, all 40. Remember last season, David Johnson had two games where he touched the ball 40 times. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And Aarons was like, he's a young running back, I'm going to keep giving it to him.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He didn't care.
He's like, oh,
somebody new might be like, you know what, I'm going to scale that back.
Right, someone asked Bruce Arians last year, are you going to manage the workload? He's like, well, manage the workload? Kid's 22 years old. What am I managing?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fancy. And I was like, ooh.
Well, we love that.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't see. Look, David Johnson missed this whole season. He should have a significant workload once again next year. I think he wants that workload. You got to use these guys while you have them. And they're
understood.
This year is a perfect example. Any new manager, any new coach who comes in and isn't putting the offense, like, just look at what Todd Gurley, look what David Johnson did before. He should be the engine that makes his offense run. And if that's not the game plan for the new head coach, then something went wrong.
Absolutely. I look at Bruce Arians and look at Arizona, and it'd be interesting to see if he doesn't come back, who they replace him with. Like, I could see them just like promoting their defense coordinator, James Betcher.
Is dude still a part of them? The former Hawk. So he still coach with them?
I don't know. I don't know what you're saying.
What's his name? Is it Jacoby?
I know Harold Goodwin is their offensive coordinator.
Man, don't they have one of the Hogs on the coaching staff? When I say Hogs, I'm about to watch the legendary Washington Redskins offensive line.
Yes,
I have, again.
Okay, my bad.
Sorry.
I'll look it up right now.
All right, fair enough. So I can see them going in those directions. I know they also love Todd Bowles from the Jets, given he's a former defensive coordinator, certainly, for Bruce Arians there. So that's dysfunction. The other semi-dysfunction actually comes from Seattle that, you know, always is relatively dysfunctional. And it was a story yesterday, Corey, that Earl Thomas went up to the Cowboys and like, yo, come get me.
Yeah.
I want to play for you.
That should happen. That should happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's a need there that needs to be filled. It's a team that'll have some money to spend in the offseason.
He's not a free agent this season. It's the year after.
Well, yeah, that's going to be a while. And so we don't know how the situation will change over the course of the next year. That's a secondary is up and coming, amazingly. If they can keep them together and keep them healthy, they got to let them grow and gel. At times, you saw flashes of potential this year from that secondary. Guys like Byron Jones, Orlando Scandrick, obviously getting a little bit up in age. But they have some room to grow in that secondary. A player like Thomas would help it out a lot. But as for right now, if there's nothing they can do with it right now, it's nothing.
All right, so the Cowboys getting better. What did you think? What did you think of Earl Thomas getting caught on camera, going to Dallas guys and goes, "Come get me"?
That's not a good look. Look, no, it's just really not. I mean, you can get your people to send, you know, little messages here and there, and let it be known to the correct sources, but you can't be doing that after a game. And I don't know. Especially your team has a chance to make the playoffs now.
Sure. And they won Super Bowls and whatnot. He is a Texas kid, obviously went to the University of Texas. Still bad luck.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, this Seahawk, I don't want to say word dynasty, but, you know, they've had a nice run here these past few years. As Corey was mentioning in the preseason, there's a lot of turmoil on this team and a lot of people that don't like each other. So at some point, it's going to start breaking. The only thing that's holding this team together is Russell Wilson.
And them winning. If they were like a bad team, it would be total pandemonium. But right, Russell Wilson is keeping them together because of how well he's playing on the field and getting them to W's. But, it's always something going on in that locker room. I really think Pete Carroll is ready to get out of there.
I was about to ask you that question.
I think Pete Carroll's ready to get out of there.
He's always ahead of the curve.
Yep. Pete Carroll know how to get out before he falls. Like Jeff Van Gundy when he left the Knicks. He was like, you know what? It's going to be trash over there next year. As a matter of fact, for the next 20. let me get out of here.
Pete Carroll's going to bolt soon.
Huh?
He's going to bolt soon.
I think Pete Carroll's out of there. Maybe if not this year, sometime soon, Pete Carroll is getting out of that situation.
I agree.
Maybe he takes one more run with Russell.
Although having Russell Wilson makes it a little bit harder because he's a quarterback that's going to be good for a very long time. So, and that's the one thing you need in the NFL is that quarterback, and he has it. So maybe not as quickly as we thought. So there you go. A couple other notes. I'm just going to hit quickly here. It looks like Nick Foles will start for Philly, although he may not get all the playing time. Nate Sudfeld, former Indiana quarterback, may get some time with the Eagles. Starting
that's confusing
lineup.
He should get every rep he possibly can.
Paxton Lynch will start for Denver this week at home against KC, and Jerry Maclin should play for Baltimore this week as they try to win and get in against Cincinnati. We take a break. More of the players that crushed you in the fantasy championship. I want to hear from you as well. 844-843-6879. Roto Experts rolls on right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So outside of all of the Eagles and Raiders that crushed you, there's a lot of other players that also let you down. I want to start, actually, with your team, Corey.
Yeah, why not?
Well, with some of the players you need, because I think it's actually gone under the radar, just how bad some of them were this past week. I want to start with Brandon Cooks, because nobody's talking about that, or was talking about it yesterday, the day before that, or even today. Brandon Cooks was a monstrous let down in the fantasy playoffs. Like, he had, what, 4 points for you, you said?
4 points, yeah, 4 points. And he got that, like, the last drive of the game.
Right, he was held catchless in the first half. Then he had one catch in the third quarter and one catch in the fourth. And that was it.
In week 14 in the PPR, mm-hmm. he put up 4.8. Mm-hmm. In week 16 in the PPR, he put up 4.5. In week 16, he gave you 16 points. Right?
Week 15.
He was, in week 15, he gave you 16 points. Yeah, he was flat out horrible in the fantasy playoffs.
He was tied for the 49th best wide receiver.
On the season.
Behind Sammy Watkins.
On the season, Brandon Cooks has 60 receptions for 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. This was a guy that you kept, that you wanted to climb and climb
into the first round.
Into that first round crew.
The narrative on him that I didn't believe or buy into was that the receptions were going to go down because of the way the New England Patriots spread the ball around. The receptions would go down, that he would still have the yardage, and he may still have the touchdowns. How many touchdowns did he finish with?
He finished the fantasy season with 6, which is the least he's had since his rookie year. Also, the least amount of receptions he's had since his rookie year.
He's a piece.
And that's what a lot of people said.
He's a piece. For fantasy, I don't even want him as a 2. I would want him as a 3 in 2018.
So you want him in the Alshon Jeffrey Michael Crabtree range.
I want him in that range. I don't think he'll probably go in the second round. If he's going in, if it's ADP, the second round ADP, I will not own him.
Where are you on him, Matt?
I gotta agree. I liked him too. Like I was on. I thought he.
You both were.
I thought he would get those, 80 something receptions, put up that 1,200 yards, possible double digit touchdown. I guess maybe, that first half it was Hogan that kind of
definitely
took him out. I don't get it. I thought they would definitely use him more. He would be that deep threat that they needed. So I was a little surprised. And yeah, in the fantasy playoffs, I think he did catch a touchdown. Maybe it was that second week of the fantasy playoffs.
Week 15, I think he had a touchdown.
But besides that, he basically left you for dead.
It's really interesting because I kind of fell into Brandon Cooks because of you guys. You guys are super high on him, and I was like, okay, like maybe I'm wrong on this guy. And 60 receptions, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. You're right, Corey, when you say he's a piece.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is the dude's still 24 years old.
Yeah.
Like he's still getting better.
I think he can be much better.
Yeah.
It's just
but he needs to be like. he has to be the one. I don't think they have a one. The way their offense is set up is get the ball to the open guy. Gronk is the one.
Gronk's the one.
And then it's get the ball to the open guy. You got to factor in the running backs because the running backs are going to catch passes too. You know, so they're not really that go down the field offense dominant. They're not a West Coast offense. Brandon Cooks needs to play in a West Coast offense where he can be a dominant number one wide receiver.
Now Brandon Cooks in the middle of the year, he got hot, right? 6 for 74, 11 targets. 6 for 140. 49 and a touchdown, 9 targets. 6 for 83 and a touchdown, 7 targets. So in November, those 3 games, he was on fire. He was lightning. You're like, okay, this is the dude that I drafted. This is the dude that's going to get me all the way. And then after that, 2 for 17, 1 for 38, 4 for 16 and a touchdown, as Corey mentioned, 2 for 19.
Yeah, I thought he would have had a better season than that. I don't like the 60 receptions either. I don't think that doesn't sit too well with me. I thought those receptions would be somewhere into that 72 to 78 range. So, listen, he was serviceable. You wasn't going to find him on the waiver wire. He would go in your lineup every week. But he was a piece. He's a piece of a fantasy team, probably best served as a wide receiver 3.
And I agree. I agree with that. I think, you know, sometimes we need to ignore the fantasy playoffs because, you know, it doesn't remember the whole season. I think this is one I want to remember what Brandon Cooks did in the playoffs. Remember that negative feeling and make sure I apply that on draft day.
Well, here's my question. How do we weigh the fantasy playoffs? Like, when I make the argument for, say, Hunt versus Kamara, rookie of the year, I mean, Hunt did have a lull, but he still was putting up double-digit points. My question is, he basically helped win you fantasy playoffs.
Absolutely.
Kamara was a bit disappointing. Look, he did get hurt and stuff, but he wasn't putting up those insane, you know, I don't think, did he get over 20 points in the last?
He might have got, might in the last day, he might have, because he had seven receptions in week 16.
He was more of like a 15, he did get 20 in week 15.
Yep.
But
the game, well, I think the injury might have cost Kamara. Because week 14 is the week that he left with the injury. That's when he had the 3 for 25 on the first drive.
And you're like, oh,
then he
boy.
Goes out the game. And then after that, he had the 20. Then he gave you 16 in the PPR. He was running back 17 throughout the course of the playoffs. And yeah, you figure that game against the Falcons, he probably would have got more touches. So it would have pushed him up some. Kareem Hunt helped you win championships, though. Kamara probably more than likely was not that guy in the playoffs.
Say anything bad about Kamara. It was just, if you had Kamara entering the fantasy playoffs, you thought you had a shot at winning it
the whole joint.
Like,
you're right.
Especially if you were like in an overall, like the high stakes, you were like super, super excited. And it just, look, 20 and 16, 15 and 16, it's still good. It's still very good, and you'll take it all the time. But I guess it left you just a little.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you wanted more. Oh, you look at the situation. Well, go ahead. Correct, my bad.
No, you know, I think you look like a guy like a Kareem Hunt. That's how he did win you a league. He did ultimately come back around after that midseason lull and won you the fantasy.
In the fantasy playoff, Kareem averaged 27.7 points in the PPO.
Unbelievable.
Only people in front of him were
Todd Gurley
and Le'Veon Bell, which is, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at.
That's why
Todd Gurley averaged 41 points in the playoffs. That's sick.
That's
ridiculous.
Just, it's mind-blowing.
That's why I think Kareem Hunt, I would take him next year before Alvin Kamara, personally.
Yeah, I mean, we have to still see. I mean, the Saints
still want to see Spencer Ware, too. The Spencer Ware thing bothers me.
I'm not worried about Spencer Ware.
I'm worried about Ware because I know Andy Reid. Andy Reid do dumb stuff. That's why I'm like, let's see what happens with Ware
first.
All right,
that's fine.
Maybe that's just me.
She's talking about the Saints is a lot. I mean, Drew Brees, what's going to happen with him? Do they trade a Mark Ingram? I mean, there's a lot of questions still to be answered.
No doubt about that. Was there a more disappointing player or wide receiver than Devin Funchess in the fantasy playoffs? I know you never got behind Funchess, Corey. You always thought, like, this dude Funchess, but he had gotten so many people there, been so reliable. He's been a reliable wide receiver, too, all year. But, and then in the fantasy playoffs, he was a monstrous letdown.
He took that big hit in the end zone.
I think this was injury-related.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think he was ever 100%.
The shoulder.
Those last two games. He was on the injury report all week.
The shoulder, he didn't practice.
Yeah.
And week 14, he had 14.9 points in the PPR. In week 15, he had 2.9. Week 16, he had 4.1. Week 15 is when he took the hit in the end zone. I don't think he was the same ever since. I'll write it off to injury. But
she'll go back.
If you look back from week 9 on up until week 15, the dude was getting it done.
He really was.
It was a minimum of 13.6. And like I said, I'm going to go on the basis that I don't think he was healthy.
I don't like these big, slow, hybrid, tight end type wide receivers like Funches. Like that body type, that skill set doesn't do it for me personally for what I like to have on my teams. But I will give Devin Funches credit. He had a very good season that I would not expect. And I mean, when he was on the wire, I was like, I'm not picking him up.
Same.
I'm not picking him up.
So would you rather go with Devin Funches or some of the guys we talked about earlier? Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Cooks, Michael Crabtree.
I'd go all three of those guys
all
over
three
Funches.
Of those guys over Funches.
Well, Cooks is only a round and a half behind him, though.
Cooks, I would definitely go ahead of him.
Mm.
But Funches is in the conversation with those guys. For the fact that unless this changes drastically, he's going to be the number one wide receiver.
Probably so.
And Cam has no problem getting him, targeting him. I mean, we see the targets, and that's real. So if I know this guy's going to get anywhere from a minimum of 8 to possibly 12 targets a week, that's pretty good.
Probably
and
so.
He's an end zone. Who would you rather have, Robert Woods or Funches? In 18.
I'm going to say Robert Woods.
I'd also say Robert Woods.
He had. I think Sammy Watkins is gone from this offense. I think Watkins is looking.
He's going to San Francisco.
He's looking for that spot where he's going to get utilized. And I think that's the one knock I'll put on Goff is he didn't want to challenge maybe the contested throw or the downfield. Look, he did take shots. He made great strides, great improvement. But I do think Sammy Watkins is looking to go to a place where he's going to be featured.
Sammy Watkins made strides throughout the year with Jared Goff. They obviously have a rapport inside the red zone. That's real, clearly. But they'd rather have Robert Woods, though. Funches on the year. I gave the numbers before when it came to Alshon Jeffrey and Michael Crabtree. And these aren't far off either. Funches has 5 more receptions than those guys, 61, 792 yards, very similar to both Crabtree and Jeffrey. He has 7 touchdowns, so he has the least amount of touchdowns between those two guys.
I would take who's ever, you know, the last one there. I'm not going to reach. I don't need to be the first guy.
They're in the same tier. I agree
with
that.
And just speaking of Watkins, I mean, from week 9 on, he had 2 weeks where he had a 6.6 and a 3.4 in there, but it was 11 points or more in 6 out of those 8 weeks.
You mentioned Robert Woods here, Corey. And Robert Woods in the fantasy finals, he let you down in a major way, too. I thought this was a dream matchup for Robert Woods against Tennessee. It did not happen. Woods in week 16, just a 3-for-33 performance.
Woods was interesting because when he came right back off the injury, I was like, stay away. And then he comes back off the injury, and he does well. And I'm like, well, go back. And then he spit the bed. You feel what I'm saying? So I feel bad. The Sammy Watkins thing is interesting. One thing I will say about Watkins, he did catch 8 touchdowns this year.
There's a red zone
He should be one of the best red zone targets in the NFL.
He had 8 touchdowns. The dude had 8 touchdowns. He needs to get out of. He needs to go someplace where he can be featured. Guy is coming. I'm telling you, he's coming.
I'll be back in.
Yes. I know you will, man.
We'll talk more about Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods on the other side. Roto Express rolls on next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Why are we Whoa-ing?
Whoa, this name of the song is Whoa, it's Black Rob. It's a classic.
This is a classic song.
Yep.
This is the jam. I don't know many Black Rob songs, but I know this.
This
one.
Is the only one anybody knows.
He's like the rap one-hit wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Before we hit the break, we were talking about Robert Woods, and we were talking about Sammy Watkins. And Watkins, as I said, relatively uncoverable. on the goal line, in the slot, just making that cut. 8 touchdowns, as Corey mentioned, for Sammy Watkins during the year. Now, Robert Woods, as Corey said, in the fantasy playoffs, comes back from injury, goes off against Seattle, and then really lets you down in the championship with a 3-for-33 performance. You asked this before, and I think it's a good spot to go to. Who would you rather have, Devin Funchess or Robert Woods? I said Robert Woods. You said who?
I'm thinking Robert Woods in this offense. I think I'm going to take the McVay offense, the innovative offense. The thing is,
playing at home now.
Yeah, and Cooper Kupp is a real thing too. So
the thing about this Woods is his injury history scares me with Woods. That's what we're. I think Woods is a better talent. I think Woods is a better player. I think Woods is in a better system. I worry about how many times we get a full complement of snaps and games from Woods as opposed to Funchess. I would have to get with Dr. A to figure that out.
So I will say that Dr. A rejoins the program tomorrow. I will say this about Robert Woods. Same amount of receptions as Alshon Jeffrey. Same amount of receptions as Michael Crabtree, that 56. Same amount of yards, I believe, almost exactly same amount of yards as Alshon Jeffrey. 56 for 781, the same exact amount of yards. But 4 less touchdowns, 5 touchdowns for Robert Woods. Is that concerning?
Yeah, touchdowns go to Sammy.
They do.
Is it concerning? No, I think Robert Woods probably got a later start to being fantasy relevant, even though people were drafting him. I was on him heavy until they got Sammy.
Right.
When they got Sammy, I backed off because I was like, you know, Sammy's there now. Little did I know, Sammy was a complimentary piece. Yeah.
I think if Sammy stayed in Buffalo this year,
Sammy would have had a big year. He'd have had a big year if he stayed in Buffalo.
Look at the cornerbacks he would have fit. Him and I think Dez had they were tied for the toughest cornerback matchups. And you look at the cornerbacks he would have been facing, it would have been a totally different thing. And one thing Tyrod Taylor does really well is throw the deep ball.
Yeah, I think, listen, I'm going to go back on Sammy at the right price. I'm not going to let him slaughter me.
But he's got to be depressed next year.
People are going to talk up the talent. They're going to talk up the talent.
I'll be one of those guys.
Yeah. 39 receptions, though. This guy cannot have 39 receptions. He needs to be a 75, 80 reception guy. You put that along with these 8 touchdowns, 593 yards. Come on now.
You put him in the slot. I think there could be some.
Nobody can guard him there. You feel what I'm saying? Now, he's coming up on a contract situation. Now, if I'm a general manager, I'm going to him at a negotiating table with him and his agent, and I'm saying, well, look at these numbers.
Sure.
These numbers don't. You got.
If I'm a Dallas Cowboys, I'm trying to acquire him.
But yeah, I'm going to try to talk him down. I'm trying to talk him and his agent down. I'm going to be like, listen, you look at these numbers, you stay hurt, look at these numbers, and I'll offer you this. The agent's going to come back and look at the talent. And that's the thing about it. The talent, we've seen a 6-7 game span of the talent when Sun looked like Julio Jones. You know, that couple years ago, that last stretch in Buffalo, he was like the best wide receiver in the NFL. Now he comes to a situation where he's getting ready for a contract, and if I'm Sammy, I got to get out of Los Angeles. I got to get to someplace. Go to San Francisco with Gucci.
that would be something. And what's crazy is he stayed healthy this year.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable indeed. Two guys that were drafted back to back, or in very similar spots. So I know one of us you were extremely high on, Matt, that struggled in the fantasy finals. Was Golden Tate. And in particular in the fantasy playoffs, I think it was really interesting.
Kenny Galladay is out, you know, is out, I think, snapping him and even getting more targets.
So you had
he's dropping touchdown passes, Kenny Galladay.
You had said, Corey, during the play, you know, all year long, I do not bench Golden Tate. I do not bench Golden Tate. In week 14 of the playoffs, 8-for-85-1.
That's superb. What you want.
Superb. Week 15, 3-for-33. Week 16, 3-for-14.
I can't figure out. This is
against Chicago and Cincinnati.
I wish I could talk to somebody in Detroit and ask them, why did they stop throwing the ball to Golden Tate and start throwing it to Eric Ebron? What happened? Why did this take place? I don't understand it at all. And you know what? I'm going to be listen. It's still, but listen, when you look at it, 85, 904. You go back to this next year.
Eric Ebron really depressed Marvin Jones Jr.'s value in this offense.
He's another guy I plan on bringing up. Eric Ebron absolutely crushed Marvin Jones, to another guy who was really reliable all year, and I didn't like him either, Corey. But he has over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns on this year. Does Marvin Jones 57 a reception more than Alshon Jeffrey and Michael Crabtree? Way more yards than both these dudes, and same amount of touchdowns. Yeah. Marvin Jones is in that conversation.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Marvin Jones Jr., for calling you a bum all of these years.
You going back?
You'll be on my fantasy. I've never been there before. I will taste. Pause. I will have a piece of Marvin Jones Jr. in 2018. What he did against Xavier Rhodes, the only one of these shutdown corners that I respect, what he did against him, I'm like, okay, yeah, I want a piece of that. I'm going back. I'm going to have me some Marvin Jones, more so than Golden Tate in 18. I love Golden Tate.
Here's the one thing I worry about with Marvin Jones. A couple of years ago, I had him after those first four games. I was calling him Marvelous Marvin. All these things. I was enamored with this guy. But he was pretty much, I think it was like fourth or fifth round I was paying that year.
Yep.
And then this year, you're paying like ninth round. Tenth round. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot more attractive. Now you're going to have to pay the freight again this year. So
I would want to do it. I would do it in the fifth or the sixth.
See, the numbers I just read you are the same, if not better, than Crabtree and Jeffrey and Funchess and Woods. This is the area for
what I
Jones.
What I do like is he has Stafford. He plays in the dome.
Mm-hmm. But he might not have Jim Bob Cooter and Jim Caldwell again.
That could be.
He might not have that.
Exactly. That's going to be a situation to watch in the offseason, what happens with the Detroit Lions. Because I can. That's a place where a new staff could be in place. Matthew Stafford was a dog this year, too.
Yeah, you were on him everywhere, and that did not work out as you thought it would.
No, I didn't. It did not.
The Lions are trying to get themselves Barkley. Yeah,
Saquon?
Yeah.
They need to.
They could use
Saquon.
They
really need a running back in this thing. Because you have a running game, and you have Marvin Jones Jr., Golden Tate, Ebron, if he can be somewhat like he was. And you don't even have to be that. But, just catch the damn ball and throw it to you in the end zone.
Tar Heel.
Yes, Ebron. Yes, he is. He's the fantasy playoffs for Marvin Jones Jr. 3 for 64, 3 for 85, 3 for 50.
That's very depressing.
They couldn't give it to nobody. Got that work besides Ebron in the playoffs. That's how the Lions went.
Look, I thought the Lions were going to be like a 6-win team, a 7-win at best. They started off, 3-0 or something like that. And I mean, Jim Caldwell did not deserve. He got, a 1-year extension? He did not deserve it.
Well, it was just for lame duck purposes.
Yeah, honestly speaking, can you put this on Caldwell when that team has no running game? No, and they haven't had a running game for years. Can you put that on him?
No.
If I'm him and I'm going into the exit, if I'm going into the meeting to talk about what happened, I'm like, give me a running back. Stop having me fool around with Amir Abdullah and the pass catching. Give me a running back. Give me a running back.
But was he ever really a good? I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I don't think he's terrible. I don't think he's one of these McAdoo or
I don't know
who's the guy in Indianapolis.
Chuck Pagano.
I don't think he's. I think he's just an average. I think you can keep him. I don't think he's the reason why the Lions are not in the playoffs. I think, like Corey said, the issue with the running back and there's Matthew Stafford disappearing from time to time, and not utilizing their scheme. You know what? When you don't have the running back, Theo Riddick is like your best option.
Sure.
And, sometimes you got to use the short passing game as your running game. So
The thing with Caldwell is, if I'm not mistaken, that was Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator.
And later head coach.
Exactly. So that's probably the reason why, he got the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying he don't deserve opportunity. Yeah.
But I'm saying, as far as his pedigree as a coach, this team has been to the playoffs twice. They should have beat Dallas, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that play in 2014.
Sure.
They should have beat Dallas. That was the pass interference. It should have been called. That would have ended that game.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the playoffs last year. They took it all the way to week 15 this year. Week 16 this year.
Took it to week 17 last year.
Well, losing to the Bengals is really crazy. That's a killer.
That can't happen. No, a Bengals team that's given up. That can't happen with the playoffs on the line.
That was at home too, right?
I believe if they would have, I think if they beat Cincinnati and win this week, they would have gotten in.
No, they still need Atlanta to
with
lose.
The Falcons loss.
Yeah, they
were ahead of the Seahawks.
They were ahead of Dallas and the Seattle. Yeah. They were right there. They've been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Since Caldwell's been there, but they don't have they're in the playoffs, but you know that it's going to be a short stay.
Yeah. They're never a team. They're never a threat.
One and done.
Yeah, literally.
Zach, thank you for coming. Goodbye.
You can compare him to a baseball team. Who would they be?
Compare him to a baseball team.
I want to say the Mets, but they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? They're like the Twins.
Okay.
Yeah, like the Twins. That's a really good one.
They get in. They're never a threat. You never think the Twins are going anywhere.
If I'm the Twins, I'm trying to get you Darvish there.
I think they're trying.
I mean, that's... If he's going back to the American League, that's like the perfect landing spot for him, that ballpark.
I think Corey took his headphones off and walked out of the room.
I was looking at
Corey, a name that you mentioned before, when we were talking about the Cowboys, and that's Dez Bryant, because he's not the same guy. And Scotty and some other people expected a major bounce back year. They thought that Dez Bryant was going to come through for you, and he didn't. And if you looked at him, he's just not the same guy that he was a couple of years ago. The numbers this season, 66 for 814 is okay. Six touchdowns, it's okay. But these are numbers for a guy that's going to be in the third, fourth, and fifth round, not in the first or second anymore.
Yeah. I read a story where they say it was, I forgot who the journalist was, more or less said that Dez Bryant was the creation of Tony Romo.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Dez Bryant is extremely talented. I won't go that far, but he didn't look that talented this year.
Where are you taking Dez Bryant next year?
If Dez is in the third as a wide receiver two, I'll bank on the bounce back.
You're okay as a wide receiver two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we come back, we'll talk to the only kid, Jake Seeley. When we do it next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Barsett, Matt Bodega, Greg Sussman, and now we bring in one of the Flex League's champions. It's the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's happening, Jake?
What's going on? I missed part of that intro. I'm sorry.
Repeat it for him.
I announced him as my good friend, one of the Flex League champions.
He wanted you to repeat that part.
I literally missed it. That's good. That works City. Out. That works out pretty well. I literally missed that part. I was getting my headset ready this morning, so I missed it. That's good to hear.
Oh, I'm glad I could be of service to you, Jakey. All right. What we've been talking about this morning here for a lot of the show is some of the guys that let you down in the fantasy playoffs, in particularly the fantasy finals. So I wanted you to rank these four guys that we've been talking about the most going into next year, Jake. You ready?
As in, where would I put them next year?
Like, in your mind, this is nothing final. Yeah. It's not really, you know, it's just...
No, I just wanted to clarify if it was my level of disappointment or where I would put them next year. That's
just all. Just where you... Where in... Rank these guys in order and then where you want to take them next year. Here we go.
Jake, okay. Just tell them check the link.
Thankfully, there is no link for this question yet. All right. Alshon Jeffrey... Devin Funchess, Michael Crabtree, Robert Woods.
I would go Alshon Jeffrey, Michael Crabtree, Funchess, Woods.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
That is interesting.
Because we all had, I think, a little bit differently. We didn't have an interest.
I had.
It's very similar.
I had Alshon one.
Yeah.
I'll probably go Crabtree for the touchdowns. I don't see anything changing. Really, but I probably would go Woods ahead of Funchess, but that's
I would go Woods ahead
close.
Of Funchess.
Yeah. It's still as close. Funchess gets those targets too. And
they're going to go back to back. I would guess they would go back to back in drafts next year, probably in that 5-6 range.
I don't think so. I think they're going earlier.
You think Wood? You think Funches and Woods go in the fourth round?
Yes.
I think it's. I don't know.
I'm anxiously waiting. I can see it.
My problem with Woods is what happened last week. Is now we're looking at Jared Goff being the cake. Their wide receivers are the icing. Now you can't trust them. When you have, this is what Scott and I talked about yesterday during On Target. When you have a dominant running back like a Todd Gurley, unless you have a dominant top flight wide receiver like a Keenan Allen or a Dez Bryant with Ezekiel or something like that, and Dez Bryant's even started to slack off a little bit when he talked about fantasy production. Unless you're a dominant wide receiver, those second, third tier wide receivers, when you have a dominant running back, especially in the passing game, can't be counted on every single week. And that's the only reason I would give Funt just the edge, because he has less to deal with.
That's a fair point. I think that's really interesting. What if I added Marvin Jones to that crew? Where does Marvin Jones go, Jake?
If everything stands as of today, yep. I would take Jones over Funchess.
You take Jones over Funchess, so you would say Jeffrey Crabtree than Jones?
Yep.
Okay, and that makes sense. Jones by far has the most amount of yards between any of these guys. He's got more receptions than even Jeffrey and Crabtree, and right in the range of touchdowns with both Crabtree and Jeffrey also. So that makes plenty of sense. I know people are just scared off of Marvin Jones and the inconsistency. And Matt, you made a great point before. This year it was great. You were getting in the 9th and 10th round. It didn't matter. If you had to pick him in the 4th, 5th, it's not as exciting anymore.
It's not as exciting. I'm actually anxiously awaiting the trendsetters draft that the NFFC does right after the Super Bowl. So I want to see where some of these guys...
Thank you for reminding me of that.
Some of the elite high-stakes players are involved here, and it's kind of the early draft board.
Kenny Galladay factor of next year and him stealing touchdowns, so I think that's why.
You also have a potential new coach and offensive coordinator there as well. And as we learned this year, we got to pay attention to those things. So
that we do.
Absolutely. Okay, coming up next, Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, and, of course, Wall Street, Matt Modica. Until tomorrow on the Roto Express, my name is Greg Sossman. Thank you so much for watching and listening to the program of Dapper BFFs coming up in a little bit. Enjoy the frenzy, and I will see you tomorrow.